Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this blog talk. This is Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about a particular subject that I listed off on the email groups and on the website about who is political. Was Christ a political figure? Was Christ political? Was the gospel political? Were they talking about anything that had to do with politics? Well, the truth is, they were. That's it in a nutshell. Christ was one of the most political figures of his time. But it was not politics as usual. It was a different kind of politics that Christ was preaching, because he was preaching a different kind of government. He was preaching a government of individual responsibility. A government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's what the Bible is really all about. And if you don't see that, you've probably been seduced by some damnable heresies that Peter warned us about. Heresies, actually the word has its origin in choice. And a damnable heresy is a damnable choice. And in the world today, you're given lots of choices. And some of those choices are really not good choices to make at all. The fact is we often have elections in different countries where they talk about having a choice between the devil and the deep blue sea. The reality is you have another choice. You can choose life. You can choose the ways of life. That's what Christianity was called. It was called the way. And that way affected you politically. It affected the way in which you were connected to government. And in order to understand how that works and how it can work today, you have to take a new look at the Gospels. When Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," he was offering you a choice between the yoke of the world and the yoke of bondage that everybody was sliding into because of their political views, their political ideologies. And Christ was offering them another way, a way under the perfect law of liberty. And that's what they're talking about. They're using those terms. And recently I just saw Charles Stewart locally in California, Oregon here, reposted an article that I had up a number of years ago, probably now, on News with Views. And that particular article was article on Romans 13. And he reposted it, I guess, to his own groups, Romans 13 and Christ's clergy response team. And it was an article I wrote in reaction to some rhetoric going around by some pastors who propagate damnable heresies on a regular basis and get paid by their congregations to do so. And one of them was that Romans 13 is let every soul be subject unto the higher power. And that's translated a number of different ways. That's the way it's translated in the King James Version. But the word power there is very specifically, you can go into concordances, you can go into the Greek language of its time. I've written a whole book on this subject called The Higher Liberty. And the reason I call it The Higher Liberty is the word power there that they translate into power or authority is the power to make choice. It's the power to choose to be a heretic or not to be a heretic. And that power to choose is your right granted to you by God originally. And that's what that word means. It doesn't mean power as in government unless, of course, you've given the government the power to choose for you. If it's the higher power, it's the original power, it's the more excellent power, it is the power to choose that God gave you. If you haven't given that power away, which most of you have, through all kinds of things that you've done that you shouldn't have done probably, but we can go into that later. But the fact is the higher liberty is the original liberty, the original power to choose, and that's what that word means, is not power as much as it means right to choose or liberty. It's translated right many times in the Bible. It's translated liberty in Corinthians by the same author. And if you put the word liberty there, as you should, that verse goes, let every soul be subject unto the higher liberty, for there is no liberty but of God. The liberties that be are ordained of God, and of course they are. Whosoever therefore shall resist liberty, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive for themselves damnation. That's one of those damnable heresies. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the liberty, the right to choose? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And this is what Christ was teaching, how you are to be a good citizen, a truly good citizen, not a socialist who forces his neighbors to contribute to his welfare at the point of a gun, but a loving socialist of Christ who takes care of his neighbor by free will offerings. This is the way it was in the days of Abraham, the days of Moses, and the days of those who followed the ways of Christ. They took care of one another because they knew that they had to love their neighbor as themselves. They had to care for their neighbor as much as they cared for themselves, their neighbor's rights. And they knew that they had to keep the commandments because Christ said you had to keep the commandments if you wanted salvation, if you wanted eternal life. And the commandments include a commandment that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Every single one of the teachings of Jesus Christ will affect your political relationship with government. And we're going to go into a lot of that. But I've started right off the bat hitting the ball out of the park for most people, and you have to realize that there are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle. You can live as if everything is a miracle. And the fact that you live at all, the fact that you breathe, the fact that you think, and you are consciously aware of yourself is a miracle. That was a quote from Albert Einstein. He also said, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. You're going to have to change your thinking. And when I give you information like that about the word exousia in the Greek that actually means the right to choose instead of the power of government, I'm giving you an opportunity to change your thinking. And there's, you know, hundreds of footnotes in the books that we offer for free that explain exactly how these damnable heresies creeped in. We use their words, their laws, to show you how it works. But you have to be diligent in the search for truth. Albert also said, you cannot solve a problem from the same consciousness that created it. You must learn to see the world anew. And we're going to give you a lot of different ways to do that over the next 2.5 hours. And again, this afternoon on Freedomizers, we're going to get into a little bit more campfire talk on Freedomizer, not into the real good campfire talk that we have here at retreats. And we're going to have a retreat here this fall, latter part of September, Burning Bush Festival, the Fall Festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're going to have here, and we got lots of room, and we could have lots and lots of people come. But it's up to you to be diligent in showing up. The world as we have created it is a process of our own thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. These are all quotes from Albert Einstein, so this must be the Albert Einstein show. When the symbols, when a symbol unmoors itself from what is it symbolizes, it loses meaning. It becomes ineffective. And, of course, this is exactly what's happened with modern religion and with the Jews, with the Philistines and Israelites of old. The Pharisees changed symbols into something that was not connected to their original purpose, the altars on which people sacrificed. They turned it into a mindless ritual. There were many people at the time of Christ who knew what they were really talking about in the Old Testament when they talked about altars. And we go into this briefly in the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, but that should change your thinking in a way that can change your life. Once you understand what those altars really were, that they were government institutions of the people, for the people, and by the people, whereby a free government was put in place to maintain the health of society, the bonds of society. Once you understand that, your whole relationship to governments of the world will change. Jesus was a king, but his kingdom was not of the world. Everybody knew Jesus was the king. Shepherds knew it. Angels knew it. King Herod knew it. Magi knew it. Even Pontius Pilate said, "This is your king." He knew that Jesus Christ was a king. His kingdom just was not a part of the New World Order of Rome. He had made no treaty, and of course, by Judaic law, he could make no treaty with them. He realized that Jesus was the king. To tell you the truth, we won't go into it on this short program, but Herod realized that Jesus was the rightful king, Herod Antipas, and gave him the scarlet or purple robes of the kingdom, which included a map of Judea enlaced with gold braids and silver braids and gems, precious stones. Why do you think Romans tore it into three parts when they were casting lots for it? It was extremely valuable, and they wanted a share of it, and they tore it into parts, which was a prophecy of the destruction to come for Judea. But the kingdom was not just Judea. It included all of Israel, all those who have God in their hearts. Israel is a place where God prevails. Does God prevail in your heart? Does his ways prevail in your heart? Or are you a socialist who wants to take away from your neighbor at the point of a gun and call that charity? So what is the antithesis of Christ? What was the antithesis of God's way in the beginning? And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. In Genesis 11:4, we see, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top unto heaven reaches, and let us make us a name, an identifier, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God wants you scattered abroad, but coming together bound by faith and love, not by civil contracts. Can you do that? Do you have the morality to do that? The heart to do that? Back when Israel was a free nation, a pure republic, they said they wanted to have a king. And Samuel goes into great detail of explaining what you are going to have if you decide to go that way. And it's exactly what people have today in England and the United States and Canada and Australia and all over the world. First fruits of their labor is taken away. The best of their fields is taken away to feed the officers of the central government, which makes its instruments of war and takes your sons and daughters to serve it. You have become a human resource in those places. Why? Because you didn't follow the way. When the people finally, under the burden of this, even though that God told them what would happen, they still wanted that king, and they got that king, and then they come to Rehoboam, and they say they wanted to go back to the way it was, back in the days of a pure republic, no centralized commander-in-chief ruling over them, drafting their sons and daughters. They wanted to go back. And they appealed to Rehoboam to let them have their freedom back. And he could have stepped down and given it back to them. But he didn't. He listened to the counsel of the other men who had gathered around him because they loved power. And they said, "My father whipped you with whips," referring to Solomon. "And I shall whip you with scorpions." Not exactly your modern day political preaching, but actually not far from it. Not far from it. Heard a State of the Union address the other day. I guess it was when the State of the Union address, somebody played it on their phone, talking about arrest warrants for indefinite incarceration, but guidelines written according to our Constitution. According to our Constitution, you can't have arrest warrants on suspicion. First time I heard that was put into place in law was under Tiberius. We're back in Rome again. You want to know the future? Study the past. There's no turning the world around. You can't do it. You don't have the power. You don't have the political clout. Most people want their benefits. They want a power that can force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. They don't want to live by faith. That's what Christ was talking about, living by faith. You're not living by faith if you pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. Christ said it was not to be that way with you, and those same preachers preaching to you damnable heresies are not telling you what Christ said. They're saying believe in Jesus, but don't listen to what he said. Don't do what he said. One of the most damnable heresies is that you don't have to do anything. You just have to believe. That's the absolute antithesis of what Jesus said. Yes, you can't do anything that will make it so God owes you salvation. You cannot earn salvation where it is now your right. You just can't do enough. But if anybody's telling you you don't have to do anything, just believe, that is satanic, because Christ said, not those who say, "Lord, Lord," who say they believe, but those who doeth the will of the Father. How many parables did he have about that? He's telling you stories, the son who didn't do what his father said and the son who did. Which one was the true son? Prodigal son who comes back to do the will of his father as a servant? What's he talking about? Even the Good Samaritan was the guy who did the will of the Father, cared about others. What's pure religion? How you take care of the needy of your society? Do you do it through free will offerings or do you do it through forced offerings? If you think it's okay to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, you will never be free. You must change your thinking if you want to change the nature of the world around you. You have to change. And you have to start now. Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Have you received the seed of truth by the wayside? Yes. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ makes this a reality today that is within your reach. But you have to reach for it. You have to, like the prodigal son, turn around and head back to the ways of your father, to serve your father, to do with the will of the father. And it is not the will of the father that you covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. Mark 11:10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus Christ was a king. But unlike Rehoboam, he would not whip you with whips. He would not whip you with scorpions. He would not whip you. He gave you the opportunity to be free. And if you got the baptism of Jesus Christ instead of the baptism of King Herod the Great, you could be free because you could opt out of one system into the other. Yes, many of you cannot live without your Social Security. Many of you cannot live without your disability. But everybody can work for the day that we could do that. In the meantime, you may have to pay the unrighteous mammon. But every night you must glean in the field for the benefits of the kingdom. Not just for yourself, but for others. Because unless you care about others as much as you care about yourself, you cannot be free. You must start working towards a society that sets your neighbor free if you want to be free in society. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We have no power to remove the governments of the world, either by military force or by political arms, by democratic vote. The selfish outnumber us. They will not give that up. You know, I see so many people seeing hope in the man Ron Paul. And there is some hope in that man because he does talk about some good things. But do you imagine that he will get anywhere near the office of presidency of the United States to do what he would like to see done? There are billions and billions and billions of dollars at stake. Wealthy men that would snuff your life out for a fraction of what they would lose if a man like Ron Paul got into power. Do you think that that is where your hope really lies? Where your hope lies is in the ways of Christ and in gathering together with others who see those ways as viable because they have faith enough to believe, give me the way of life or give me death. Your hope is not in your constitution, even though it is quickly being rubbed out of existence. It never was. That's not what made this country great. It never was. Patrick Henry said that document was written as if good men would take office. When bad men take office, they will steal your rights through ambuscade. And why would bad men take office? Because you have given too much power to that office. and men of power seek it, and they will lie to get it, and they will cheat to get it, and they will kill to get it. Your salvation is found in the ways of Christ. Repent. Turn around. Just start looking for those ways. Now, we've laid it out through the Living Network, and everyone should be a member of the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and sign up. And find other people in your area that are looking for your rights as hard as they are looking for their own rights. And they are looking for their rights because they know that their rights include responsibilities. And they want to take responsibility for themselves and for their neighbor and for their brothers in liberty. They want to start taking care of one another and caring for one another. We show you how this is an absolute legal process today. And if you can do that, you have the hope of being free again. And not only being free, but surviving freedom. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They were going into the kingdom right then because they were starting to do the will of the Father and care about one another. Mark 10:24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. Are you astonished at mine? But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Your riches include your entitlements. Do you really believe that those entitlements will remain there under the present economic crunches from Europe to Asia? John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Herod was baptizing people into the kingdom of God. John the Baptist was baptizing people into the kingdom of God. Herod's system included socialism at the point of a sword. You had to pay in or you could be arrested, fined, property could be seized. But in John the Baptist's system, if you had two coats and your neighbor only had one, share. Or had none. Share. Very simple. But you have to do this in an organized fashion. You have to work at organizing yourselves. Otherwise, you will lose sight of the needy and not do a good job. You have to cross the road and see who really needs help. And then only feed those who really need help. If you don't work, you don't eat. That creates a different kind of society. You have to change your way of thinking. You don't just give to everybody who has a need. You give to everybody what they really need. And it may be the truth about their own sloth. A little fasting doesn't hurt. So we're going to have to finish this on Keys of the Kingdom on LibertyRadioLive.com. And we'll talk about how political Christ really was. Till then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.